According to the National Center for Drug Abuse, over 165 million Americans ages 12 and up are currently abusing drugs or alcohol. Of those 165 million Americans, there is a mom, dad, sister, brother, wife, husband, son, daughter, or grandparent praying and pleading that they would stop. Addiction is a subject most people don't like to talk about and is kept behind closed doors. But the Finding Hope podcast will bring light to the subject and give families that are living in shame, guilt, hopelessness, fear, worry, and anger tools and education to find strength, peace, happiness, joy, and hope. Hello, I'm Amy LaRue, Finding Hope Coordinator for Hope is Alive Ministries and your host for this Finding Hope podcast. At Hope is Alive, our mission is to radically change the lives of drug addicts, alcoholics, and those who love them. We do this through our intentional next level sober living homes and faith-based support groups for the loved ones of addicts called Finding Hope. Thank you for joining us. Just a reminder, our Finding Hope retreats have hit the road this year, and we only have one more retreat available for you to attend in Florida, October 24th through the 26th. You can learn more and register at fhretreat.com. We also have our upcoming Hope After Loss retreat in Tulsa, Oklahoma, October 3rd through the 5th. This retreat is for anyone who has lost a loved one to the impact of addiction. During the retreat, you will find rest, community, and hope as you hear from amazing keynote speakers, connect with others, and share. You can sign up and learn more at halretreat.com. But today we have Darcy back with us. How are you, Darcy?
I'm doing good.
We just had a busy weekend.
We did.
What happened this weekend?
This last weekend was our Run for Hope events. And it was a wonderful weekend. Three locations and virtual.
It was incredible.
It was.
The weather was great.
Yes.
I was a little worried it was going to rain.
Yes.
But it held off.
Uh-huh. It was amazing.
It wasn't too hot.
No. Perfect. Like I've heard, if you're a runner, it's the perfect weather.
Well, we did that just for them.
I know.
We're going to start off talking a little bit about that, and then we'll get into our topic.
Okay.
Because it was an amazing, impactful event.
Yes.
So Run for Hope, like you said, we had three locations, mm-hmm. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Weatherford, Oklahoma, and virtually.
Yes.
And we hit record numbers.
It was amazing.
Our goal was to have 1,200 people, and there for a while, we're like, oh, are we going to make it? Yeah. But after everything, we had close to 1,500 mm-hmm. participants.
That is amazing.
You know, coming out and running for hope, mm-hmm. running to honor and remember those we have lost.
Yes.
And just celebrating sobriety and recovery as mm-hmm. well. And so one thing I love about this race is our loved ones, we give them buttons. So
yes.
If you honored a loved one, we give them a button to wear mm-hmm. and they wear it proudly. And I love that because they're wearing it because they know that their loved one, their child, their brother, their sister, their cousin, their mom, their dad mm-hmm. is so much more than this disease,
yes.
right? And so they wear it. And I would see people wearing it I've never met. And I would just go up to them and say, tell me about your loved one. What's their name? And just starting that conversation
yeah.
About that. And here in Oklahoma City, you know, it was just so cool seeing everyone come together and sharing and talking. And, you know, our DJ did a great job keeping us and watching people going through that finish line, but watching people stop at those signs.
Yeah.
You know, we have runners that run the race for their time.
Yes.
And then they go back and walk it.
Yes.
Just to see those lives. And we honored 135 mm-hmm. loved ones. So if that was your loved one, thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to honor them and remember them
yes.
at this event.
Yes.
What are some highlights from Tulsa?
So I think we had the largest in-person group at Zach's Pack.
Wow. That team.
Yes, the team.
Shelly's team.
Yes, matching hats. And just seeing, they didn't all run together or walk together, but just seeing them with their hats and knowing which team they're a part of is
That's just so really cool.
And then just seeing all of the, I don't get to see everybody at the race, you know, or see the pictures that they're taking or what they're doing to remember, but seeing the social media posts from the Tulsa event, I mean, all of them, but because I was in Tulsa, but just seeing the impact that it had on social media. And of course, then a highlight personally for me is my youngest three kids don't, well, Isaiah was a baby when my mom passed away, but my youngest three are with me, and just seeing my 18-year-old just run for his Nana that he never ran, that he never met. And that was just, it's so touching to see. Like, he never met her, but he honors her every year. And this was the first time in a couple of years that he actually ran, and he got third place.
Yay! I didn't realize that.
No, there may have only been three. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But yeah, yeah, he ran and he got third place in his category. And so it was just a really, like, awesome event honoring so many, but then a personal note to just the impact that it continues to make on my kids and my family.
And you're talking about those, everyone posting pictures and the smiles and just the words that they were posting about. One that I saw from Weatherford, and it kind of like shook me, like when I opened it and saw it. It was this dad, and he had on the Run for Hope shirt, and he was running, and he had his child's picture running with his the picture above his head. Like, I'm doing this for you, buddy. Like, this race is for you. Like, I'm not, we're not going to forget you. And it was just, when I saw that, I was just, I like literally stopped and my eyes teared up. All like yours are doing right now, right? Like, it's just that this is why we do what we do. You know, there's a lot that goes into this. And that's what I kept telling our team, right? The teams that come, like, we ran out of medals because it was record numbers. We ran out of shirts, record numbers. But more importantly, yes, that's fun and that's great. But remembering what we do, why we're doing why this. And everything, all the money that comes back goes back to finding hope and hope after loss. To fund these free support groups, to fund this podcast we're doing, right? We don't have sponsors for the podcast like many podcasts do. Like, it, this race funds these free support groups for families that love someone that struggle with substances or that have lost. It also helps with these retreats that we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. And I want to say again about our Hope After Loss Hope After Loss retreat that's coming up just in a few weeks. And we're really, hopefully this will, podcast will go out before then. And because we want you there. You know, I talked to a couple, anytime I saw somebody, I mentioned the retreat, and you know, and they're like, I want this, I want, and then some are scared because they don't want to cry the whole weekend. And you know, someone at one of our retreats said, you got to hug a cactus. And so that's what I just keep thinking. It's like, even if you cry, it'll be okay. Like, you need, it's a safe place to do that. But we have some amazing keynote speakers coming. One's flying in from Georgia. Some are driving in, and just some amazing things we have planned for this retreat. And it wouldn't be possible without this run. You know, and so thank you to all of our amazing sponsors for these teams. Zach Pack also raised the most money to this year. Shout out to them again. And so thank you guys for being a part of this and helping fund this. And maybe you're listening like, I hasn't there. I would still love to give back. You can. We would love for you to give back to fund these. And you just can go to givefh.com now. And we'll put all this in the show notes. Any other thoughts or comments from
the race? Just such a reminder, like you said, a reminder of why we do what we do. And it's never going to be finished. And we'll keep fighting this till the end.
Absolutely. And so one thing, when you've lost somebody or when you're in the middle of loving someone in addiction, whether it's a loss or that, one thing, it's like, how do I process all this, right? How do I process these thoughts that are in my head? And we've talked about different things in here, taking our thoughts captive and all that. But how do I process this? How do I get it out? You know, sometimes I'm not always in a place where I can call somebody or sit down with my counselor. And so one thing that I know you do really well is journaling. And so we're going to talk about journaling today. And you know, maybe you want to journal from the race. Maybe there is something that triggered you at this race that you didn't realize that you were still maybe dealing with or need a process. And so, you know, journaling, we use this, you know, just to write down all these thoughts and feelings we're having to help us understand and cope with the emotions that we might be having. Mm-hmm. And it can be happy things and it can be sad things. It can be things that you're struggling with, maybe what you're anxious about. Maybe you're depressed, you know, writing this down can be, there's so much healing. I talked about it even at my meeting. We weren't talking about journaling this last week, but we were talking about boundaries and talking about like getting it out, mm-hmm. you know, our thoughts. I can't remember. I didn't write it down. How many thoughts we have a day, over 10,000 thoughts, 20. I can't remember the statistic now. And so getting it out is so, it's healing. So tell us a little bit about journaling and like why you journal.
I journal because I can hold all of my thoughts in mm-hmm. and not get them out. And it's also a way for me, I communicate with the Lord a lot. So my journaling is a lot of prayers. I actually was having this conversation with my oldest daughter last night because she's just struggling with some things. And even her small group leader at Switch told her that she could journal. And it was just an opportunity, like, you don't have to know what to say, you just write. It's getting pen to paper and just writing it all out and allowing the Lord to take all that jumbled up that you don't know how to get out verbally, but you can write it. And it's just the release that I don't know the science behind it or anything like that, but just those thoughts and emotions that you get out instead of holding it in and stuffing it and stuffing it just helps so much. And it doesn't just have to be your prayers, the hard things. But there's so many different ways that you can journal and learn. It's like learning how to get it, like just get it out.
Yeah. And as a person that's a perfectionist, journaling actually has one thing, like it has scared me because I'm such a perfectionist. I struggle sometimes with my words and with my writing. I know that's not something I do well. I do it, you mm-hmm. know, and so I'm always like, I can't write down the perfect words, but that's not what journaling's about,
right?
Because it's not for everybody to read, right? It's not for you to read, not for my husband to read, my kids to read. It is, like you're saying, you are journaling as a conversation with God, mm-hmm. and it is. It's that, like, it doesn't have to flow.
No.
Right. Yeah. It can, it's just getting those words out, those thoughts out. And maybe you just need to do bullets. Like, this is my mm-hmm. thought right now. I'm going to write it out. Here's what I'm dealing with right now. I'm going to write it out. Lord, this is what I need you to help me with. Or all of that.
Yeah. And I even told my oldest daughter last night, it doesn't even have to make sense. Mm. Like, it could be a sentence. It could be a word. It could be a phrase. It could be a scripture. It could even be drawing. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't, like, whatever you feel, just allow the Lord to guide you in it and just write it out. It, like, he knows what you're saying. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to you or, like you said, nobody else reads it, so it doesn't have to make sense at all.
And something that I'd also talked about at my meeting is, I know we've talked about it on here a little bit about that gaslighting and that, you know, some of the narcissistic behaviors that can come out when someone struggles with substances. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll tell you that's not how something was. Mm-hmm. That's not really what happened. You're crazy. This is what happened. And so sometimes it's not to throw it in their face later, but it's for your own mental health.
Yes.
To be like, okay, so writing it down at that moment, giving it to the Lord again, and just writing down so that later on you might be able to go back to it and realize, okay, that really happened the way I thought.
Yes.
And also, it also shows your growth.
Yes.
Through it too.
Yeah.
In journaling, you know, it's thought and proven that it helps reduce stress overall. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're carrying right now, you're able to let it out and put those feelings down to help become it. Whether, I mean, I know, you know, I think, do you do yours mostly at night?
Yes, except in the weekends I do it in the morning, but yeah.
So it might be a set time, mm-hmm. but it might be just where, okay, right now I need to go journal. Mm-hmm. It's taking 10 minutes mm-hmm. out of your day. Yeah. You know, there's times where I will just get up and go walk, and that's for me, to get regrounded. Maybe I'm having some anxiousness or just need a break. And so I get up and walk whether it's around our building here or just going to the bathroom or back. Mm-hmm. And so that can be the same for journaling. Maybe that's a good coping mechanism that you might need to be.
Yes, yes. Also, like, you're writing down, like, how, like you said, how a situation was because of some of the narcissistic behaviors that our loved ones can have. But they also say really mean things and negative things to us, like calling us names.
Yeah.
So, like, it's good to journal those out, but then also replace it with God's truth. And that's what a conversation I was having with my daughter last night is she was struggling with some things. And I was like, you need to be writing, like, write out how you feel, like, what you're carrying, but then ask the Lord, like, what do you say about this? Or what do you say about me? And just allow him to speak truth into some of the lies that we believe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cross out, write it down, cross it out, and write that truth down too. Yeah. You know, and so one thing I remember you telling, and I'm going to let you talk about this, is one of your counselors a couple of years ago had you journal and told you about journaling with your right hand and then switching to your left hand. Or your dominant hand. Sorry.
Yes, yes. So there's something about the inner child or whatever, like from trauma that has happened. Even Allison Lang has talked about it too. Like there's when you're writing, because your dominant hand, that I don't know what side of the brain it is, but you're writing. And so that's your dominant side. But when you're writing with your left hand, you have to think like, or your left hand, you're not, whichever hand you're not dominant on. You have to literally think, like, letter by letter what you're writing, but it's healing something because you're having to focus. Like, when it's kind of like when you're typing, you're just typing so fast, but when you're writing with your non-dominant hand, you're literally having to think word for word what you're writing. So maybe you're not adding all of the jumble in between, but it's healing that inner child part of your brain.
Yeah, and so just, like, what did she say? If, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, you write, and then when you can't think of any, that's when you switch.
Yes.
And then you keep writing. And then, is that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I have, and you don't have to do it on the same page. Like, if I do it, I write on the dominant hand on one page. Like, I have my notebook open. And then on the left side, I'll go over and write if I can't think of what to write or I'm struggling or if I need to focus more. Do it with the less dominant.
And some other types of journaling is not, you know, it's definitely writing down, having those conversations, but also just keeping a gratitude journal.
Yes.
Is, you know, and I say it a lot, right? You know, what are three things you're grateful for? And how did you see God's blessing? And having that focus and writing down those positive things through it. And there's something that also continues to shift in our brains, rewiring our brains when we're thinking through gratitude. And when you've had that horrible day, when somebody said something horrible to you, or just, it's just one of those days. And, but how has God blessed you today?
Yes.
You know, how has he gone about that and given you today, whether it's something big or something small, whether it's gas in your car to sunshine outside, you know, to a friend, right?
Yes.
It's all those things. And so that's a type of journal you can have. There's different types. There's, you know, the gratitude, a reflection journal, I think, is a lot like what we've been talking about, reflecting over the day as well. Also, I've heard of goal-focused journals is writing down, we talk about SMART goals a lot, and writing down your goals and, you know, how, what you're doing to achieve those and the progress, not, because when you work on the progress, you can see that you're getting closer to the goal. Because sometimes you feel like, I've already screwed that goal up. I can't do it. But when you slowly see the progress in that journal, that's healing and that you're accomplishing something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, like, I know journaling can be overwhelming to people. So there are these specific journals that are just for a gratitude, like, say, gratitude journal. There's one that are goal driven. There are ones like if you, I know I've done a lot of Lisa Turker's book. I've read a lot of her books, and they come with, like, you can buy separately a journal to go along with the book. So you can even read and journal what you've read or what the Lord's shown you in whatever you're reading. And so I know it can be daunting and, like, overwhelming, but there are different journals out there that you can buy to get you started.
Just go on to Amazon, mm-hmm. right?
100%. Yeah, I have a blank. Mine's just a notebook. Yeah. And I know that can freak people out, but, you know, there are different options to get you started and what you like to journal.
Yeah. And one other one, when you're talking about that, talking about the different types, is there's a 5-year journal.
Yes.
So on each page, it's literally for 5 years. You write the date. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know what today's date is, but write the date, and then you can. It's a small space, so you just mm-hmm. have to write one or two sentences yeah. from the day.
Yes.
And then in a year, you'll write, and it's you can really go back and see.
Yes.
The reflection mm-hmm. and the growth, and see how God has worked through those yeah, different yeah. situations and where you were in that life that time, because we all have different moments and years mm-hmm. where we're in different seasons, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's always a great option. That's what I've started with, was a 5-year journal. I mean, I have to be honest and transparent. I haven't finished it, you know, yeah. But I wish I would have, mm-hmm. you know, just to see the growth. Because I remember a situation that had happened and that it felt good to write it down. Mm-hmm. You know, and to be able to go back and see that, like, okay, yeah. And it also helped me writing it down, realizing this is a place where I needed a boundary mm. in my life. Like, I didn't know I needed uh-huh. it.
That's good.
But it opened my eyes to see that.
Yes.
You know, because I was able to get it out and read it. And, you know, and it might be where sometimes you do have a safe person to share mm-hmm. with, and maybe yeah. you don't want to, and that's okay too.
Yeah. And another way I would share also to journal is just because life has been so different in this last year, mm-hmm. and I didn't even realize this was journaling. One of my counselors pointed it out, is video journaling. Mm. Like,
is that called vlogging?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't post everything that I video, but like if I'm sitting in my car, at one of my kids' extracurricular activities, and I know I'm not going to have time to sit down and journal, this is what happened. Like you said, events happen, and you want to be able to go back, and that's really what happened. I just talk about what I would normally journal about. And so that's another way, too, people can journal, is just by video.
Mm, that's good. And I'm sure there's other apps out there that
I'm sure
people
there is.
Can do. And so, you know, if this is scary like it is to me, like, what would you tell somebody?
I would just tell them, what do you think you could do today to, like, write down? Start small. Like, don't overthink it. Just take that one step. Like, oh, is gratitude what you need to focus on? Do the gratitude journal. Do you need to focus on, like, your day? Like, what goals do you need to put in place? Do the goals journal. If videoing is the way that you do it, video it. But don't think that it has to be this big production or this big novel. If you can only write one word, one sentence, that's a start. Just start. And but just don't overthink it.
Overthink it. That's mm-hmm. I like that, Keek, because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I even think, you know, through the ones that you can buy, it's like, oh, but I don't want to answer that one. That's me overthinking it again, making excuses.
Yeah. And you don't have to.
I don't have to. This is for me.
Yes.
If I'm overthinking it, I'm making my own excuses.
Right.
I'm giving my – so if you're out there like me, like that, it might be you just like that too.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I've also have heard, like, find a spot sometimes. Maybe if you have a certain spot, like, you know, sometimes you might have a prayer spot or a prayer place where you have your quiet time. Have a journaling spot mm-hmm. and schedule it. You know, with you and I in the season of life that we are in with our kids – you might have to schedule it. Put it on your calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Let it notify you, like, hey, mm-hmm. it's time to journal, you know? And it might not be, maybe you just need to start with one day a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, that's kind of going to be my challenge for them, you guys, this week is, and I'm going to take this challenge too, Darcy, so I want you to help me keep me accountable,
okay.
Is scheduling a time this week, just finding a time in your busy schedule to journal. What kind of journal is that? Like mm-hmm. you said, do you need to start maybe with a gratitude? Do you need to start with a reflection journal? Maybe you just need to start with a vlog, starting with a video. But schedule that time this mm-hmm. week to start.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
Get it down. And not stop making excuses. That, again, I'm speaking to myself on this one.
Yeah.
And then I just encourage you to continue to do that. day in, day out, and maybe find that person like I just did to keep you accountable to that. And so that's just my challenge for you today. What journal do you need to start today? And find that time this week to do it. Anything else you want to challenge them with?
Just let go of the pressure. Pressure of it.
Okay.
That'd be my challenge.
That's good. So again, we just want to thank you guys. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you if you participate in our Run for Hope event. And so we're just so grateful that you joined us this week. And don't forget to register for our last two retreats, either Finding Hope in Florida or our Hope After Loss in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And you can learn more. We'll put all of that in the show notes this week. But you can learn more about Finding Hope at findinghope.today. But before you go, we would love for you to give us a 5-star review, share this on social media, and subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss our next hope-filled episode. Thanks again for joining me, Amy LaRue and Ms. Darcy Stevens, in this episode of Finding Hope. And remember, you are not alone. It's not your fault. There is hope.